are listening to the Real Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will take us and take our broadcast and make it a blessing to you today. We're opening the musical part of our broadcast with the West Virginia Trio singing for us about the blood-bought church. Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world and the love that enabled him to give himself upon that old cruel cross to make it possible for us to be redeemed from our sins and become a part of the family of God. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We also thank you for our congregation today. And I know that you love each one of them. I know that you know their burdens and you know their concerns. And we're praying that you'll minister to our precious congregation according to their needs. For you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Bible lesson today is entitled Spiritual Gifts, and our text of Scripture is taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And we also read in the 18th verse of this 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, that God places the members in the body as it pleaseth him. So we want to study spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not the same as spiritual graces. Also, spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. Nor are we to think of them as mere talents or natural ability. They are supernatural endowments of power for the benefit of the church and the church's work. There are at least 16 listed in the Bible. I will not speak of all of them, of course, today. The gifts are for the profit of the church and not for one individual. Spiritual gifts are given by Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit, for they are gifts of the Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. Apostles. Other than the 12, there were very few apostles in the early morning church. According to Acts, in chapter 1, where they were deciding or choosing to have a person replace Judas who had betrayed the master, one of the things that they said was that he must be one who had traveled with them, been with them, since the beginning of the spread of the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be one who had accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So Paul, Paul was one of the apostles, and he was not one of the 12, but he said he had seen Jesus as one born out of season. Now, the main thought of an apostle is one who went into a new field and planted the gospel. In a secondary sense, we may say that a man today is an apostle if he goes into a new area and there plants a congregation, or maybe more than one, and then he will go to some other area and plant another congregation. And some think the word apostle also means a messenger. And of course, every God-called minister is a messenger. Now, we want to think about the second gift, prophet. Old Testament, a person who spoke for God and who communicated God's message courageously to God's chosen people, was a prophet in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, the main role of the prophet was to bear God's word for the purpose of teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness. According to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it is not limited to foretelling future events. A prophet is not one who's limited just merely prophesying some future events. Acts tells us that Philip had four daughters that prophesied. So in one sense of the word, a prophet is just simply one who gets his message from the Lord and delivers it to the people. He feeds the flock of God. And so I say it is not limited to foretelling future events. Evangelists, in the morning church, these were people who traveled over a wide area, preaching to those as the Spirit led them, to the unsaved as well as to the saints of God. Today, when we think about an evangelist, we think about a man going to a given congregation, an established congregation, and they're holding what may be called a revival meeting, although revival does not fit properly when we think about evangelism. A revival could be to revive a congregation of people, but an evangelist would be speaking primarily to the lost, endeavoring to win souls to Christ. Evangelism is a special ministry, and it is given to certain ones by the Spirit of God. In fact, all of these gifts are given by the one and same Spirit, as Paul said in 12:4. Now, pastors is a shepherd who is to feed the church of God. Paul said in Acts 20 and 28, to the elders of Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. A shepherd would feed the flock, he would protect the flock, he would watch after them, and he would lead them. You don't drive sheep, you lead them, and you don't drive Christians. A man of God must lead them, instruct them, and be an example to them. And so he must protect them from false teachings and from false doctrines, as well as feeding them the truth of the gospel. And then we read about the gift of wisdom, and we also read about the gift of knowledge. These are two separate gifts, but they work closely together. Special knowledge and wisdom as to how to use the knowledge that you have. First of all, the Spirit then gives special knowledge to someone, and then He gives them the gift of wisdom as to how to use that knowledge. Not everyone that knows some things knows how to use it, and some people who know some things use it wrongly as far as that goes. So we have both the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge, and these two gifts work closely together in the body of Christ. And then we have faith. Now every Christian has faith. You have to have faith to be a Christian. The Bible says they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Another thing that Paul mentions in regard to faith and our salvation, he teaches us in the book of Romans that we must believe that God hath raised Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So it takes faith to become a Christian, and it takes faith to live the Christian life. But there is a special gift of faith that goes beyond the ordinary faith of a Christian. So one with a special gift of faith would be able to accomplish more than one who did not have the gift. And that gift, along with many other gifts, are needed in the work of the Lord today, just as much as it was in the days of the apostles. And then we think about the gift of miracles. Miracles in healing, but miracles are not limited to the gift of healing. This gift includes more than just instant healing. Now, it is true that most all of Jesus' ministry was miraculous. We do read in the Scriptures of one time where it says that this person began to amend from that hour. And so we understand from that it was not an instantaneous healing, although it was a healing. But a miracle healing is something that is instantaneous. But I say miracles are not limited to physical healing. There are other kinds of miracles that need to be wrought in the family of God and in the work of God. Miracles can be wrought only by the Spirit, and the gift cannot be used at will by some professor for their own personal use. In fact, none of the gifts are to be used for someone's personal use. They are to be given for the use of the church and the spread of the gospel. And whenever a person does this kind of work of miraculous things, it must be the leadings of the Spirit. Miracles are activities of God outside the bounds of the natural laws. In fact, a miracle could be the setting aside of a natural law. Jesus Christ, when He stepped out on the deck of the little ship there on the Sea of Galilee, when the wind was blowing strong and the waves were rolling high, and the disciples were afraid that they were going to drown, that they were going to die, woke Jesus up and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And Jesus stepped out on the deck of the ship, and He said, "Peace, be still." And there was a sudden calmness. Now that was a miracle outside the bounds of natural laws. So there are various miracles that can be wrought in addition to miraculous healings. But there is the gift of healing. And the gift of gifts, actually, the Bible, that's the only gift that the Bible speaks of in a plural sense, is the gifts of healing. And the gifts of healing is different from the gift of miracles. Again, a miracle is an instantaneous work, but healing could take over a period of days or even weeks. A man of God can anoint a person who is sick. The Lord can destroy that diseased germ, and then natural law of nature can take over and bring him back to health. So healing is a different gift than miracles, but it is a gift separate and apart, and it is a gift of the Spirit. And certainly that is one of the gifts that is needed in the work of the Lord, for we find many sick and afflicted people in the world today. But it is still a divine work wrought by an Almighty God, and divine healing is not medical healing. It is not human, from human resources at all. It is just the law. It is not just the laws of nature, but divine healing is healing wrought directly by God. Divine healing is divine. Now, there's also the gift of discerning of spirits. And I will quote here, he has a special insight into the operation of spiritual forces and is keen to detect evil spirits. A humble exercise of this gift is a protection to the church, but it must be distinguished clearly from mere suspicion, which is the cause of much trouble. And that's a quote from A.F. Gray in his book, Christian Theology. And I would say that Peter exercised the gift of discernment whenever he discerned that Ananias had lied to the Holy Ghost. When his wife came in, the gift of discernment didn't work. Peter asked her, "Did you do such and such?" And when she said what she said, he realized that she had lied along with her husband. But he exercised the gift of discernment in regard to Ananias, but not Sapphira. And he can a person that has the gift of discernment can only use it at the time the Spirit of God enables him to do so. Now, another gift that I would like to refer to is the gift of languages. And there's a lot of stress put on this particular gift, and it is misrepresented by a lot of people. And I say that kindly, but it is the truth. The gift of language is the power given by the Spirit to speak in a language not previously known. It is considered the least, and it is not the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. And I repeat that. It is not the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. Nowhere can you find in the Bible that the gift of languages is a witness to a believer. Now, it is a sign to the unbeliever, but it is not a sign to the believer, and you do not have to speak in some unknown tongue to receive the Spirit of God. There have been millions of people down through the years that have received the Holy Spirit into their heart and into their life that never spoke in tongue. We read in the Bible of those who were filled with the Spirit and did not speak in some other language. So the gift of languages is simply God's Spirit resting upon an individual, enabling them to speak a previous language that they have not known before. And beloved, if we all speak English, there is no need of a special gift of languages. We don't need that if we all speak the same language. The reason, one reason why it was given there on the day of Pentecost was because there were about 16 different nationalities and regions that were there, and they did not know, all of them did not know the local language. And the Bible says that the various folk, and not all those 120 there in the upper room spoke in another language. It was only those that the Spirit gave them utterance to. And the multitude of people out there before the apostles said, "How is it that we hear every man speak in our own language wherein we were born?" Which clearly shows that it was not some gibberish or some unknown tongue. It was a tongue, it was a language that there were people there that understood it. How hear we every man in our own tongue or in our own language wherein we were born? And again I say, speaking in another language is the gift of the Holy Spirit giving you that ability, unless, of course, you've learned it in school or somewhere. But we're talking about the miraculous gift of speaking in another language that you did not previously know. And again, it is not the evidence of Holy Ghost baptism. It's one of the gifts. Now, there's also the gift of helps. And this gift seems to be the same as deaconship. The Bible does not speak of deacons as a gift, but there is the gift of deaconship, and as far as I can understand, it is the gift of helps, because that is the office and the work of a deacon. A deacon is a helper to the pastor, and he can anoint and pray for the sick. He can also work with seekers at an altar of prayer, and he can counsel people who need counseling, and occasionally, in the absence of a pastor or at the request of a pastor, he should be able to bring a Bible lesson. But he is not recognized as a full-fledged minister. A deacon is one who fills a very important place in the church, because he is not only the pastor's helper, but he is a helper to the congregation. Now, there's another gift that I'd like to mention that you may not hear much said about, but I'm talking at the moment about the gift of giving. Now, I know we are to pay our tithes and we are to give our offerings, and that's not the gift of giving. The gift of giving would enable a person through prayer to receive money in an unexpected way that they would be able to give to the cause of Christ. The gift of giving is an actual gift, and it's not just a natural giving of your tithes and your offering. Again, it is a special gift wherein you're able to pray through faith and receive finances that you can give to the work of God that you did not receive by your own hands and labor. This is a gift that will be a real blessing to the church. For most of what I know about the church, they're always standing in need of financial help in endeavoring to carry on the gospel. And I'm not talking about these preachers that use the money for their own personal gain either. I'm talking about using it for the furtherance of the gospel. Some religious groups insist that spiritual gifts ended with the death of the last apostle or the completion of the New Testament scriptures. But there is no Bible support for such teaching as that. The gifts of the Spirit are still available for the body of Christ. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share the gospel with you. We would be thankful if you take time to let us know that it's a blessing to you. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. Thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We invite you to be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Your best, let Jesus do the rest. keep your eyes upon.